Treasury reports on more than 2 million folds for a low annual cost. And First Net's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at firstnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit firstnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, last Saturday at the fairgrounds, the Bayou Handicap was won by Class Included, a six-year-old mare. She's by Include, a typical Include. Class Included has won 13 of her 25 starts, 11 stakes, including graded stakes, and she's earned over $630,000. She is the second 2014 stakes winner for Include. His three-year-old daughter, Joint Return, won the $100,000 Bushes Stakes at Aqueduct on February 1, posting her third consecutive win from four starts. Include has sired six Grade 1 winners, plus another 13 at a placed in Grade 1 stakes. Then, just three races after Class Includes Gore in the Bayou Handicap, Albano, a three-year-old colt by his stand, nodded at the wrong time and was beaten the nose in the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes by Intense Holiday. The colt by Harlan's Holiday that went into the Risen Star off a closing third to Carol Prince in the Grade 2 Holy Bull at Gulfstream. Include in his stand at Mr. and Mrs. Baird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Include for 12,500 live foal. His stand for 3,500 live foal. See the website at airdriestud.com and remember that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, and it's a cloudy morning with a great track here at the Thoroughbred Center. I think we had quite a few works this morning. I didn't get here till this about half an hour ago, but helped a little bit. But anyway, it's a pretty morning.
And well, it's everybody wants to get it done in case that's a big storm.
Yeah, they're talking about some kind of weather coming in. But what the heck, it's the 1st of March. It's all downhill now. I don't care how bad it is. It's still getting close to April, so it's going to be great. But what are we doing today? I'm not too sure, to tell you the truth, unless I find my book here. Down here in the debris. Warren Lister's coming in. Warren has got a farm down I guess it's in Bourbon County. I'm pretty sure it is. It's out on the Russell Cave, out close to Centerville out there. And I've known Warren a while. I know his brother Wayne. Knew their dad, as a matter of fact. And he owns Tarleton Farm out to Russell Cave Road, close to Centerville out there. So Warren's going to stop by at about 11 o'clock. Hopefully Dr. Byers is coming this morning. Talked to him day before yesterday, and he was kind of planning on it. Michael Blowen will be here. Steve Moody, of course, from Bloodstock Research Information Services, does the fairground sheet, and will until Keeneland opens, I do believe. And the stakes down at the fairgrounds today is for Louisiana Breeds and Star Guitar Stakes. She was a pretty good one of the better, probably one of the best Louisiana Breeds of all time. That was Jackie Sine in the mic over there. We'll have her announcements pretty soon.
Oh.
What are you reading? Oh, she's got all these seed books.
My seed catalogs. I love it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do a little history somewhere during the show. We've got they're running the Top Flight Handicap up in New York today. We might talk a little about Top Flight. Of course, as everybody knows, she was champion two-year-old filly, I believe, in 1931. So we will talk just a little bit about her. And not much going on as far as running. Of course, they had a bunch of cancellations once again down at Turfway. But let's see, we've had 5 winners anyway. Since last week, from the Thoroughbred Center, Tim Shue won with Matter of Fact, Tommy Short won with Carry This Day Lori, John O'Meara won with Candy at My Place, and then Luis Jurado won two races last night at Turfway, with one with Battlements and the other with Rosie is Cozy. She's a mare by Cozine. I don't think there's too many Cozines running around anymore. She's a 5-year-old mare. You know, top stud horse, as far as that goes. So he might have a nice little broodmare prospect there. Anyway, Luis is doing very well. In fact, he had a winner back on the 21st also. So he's had three winners now in a week down at Turfway, which is kind of hard to do when you just run about 3 days.
exactly.
You know. So anyway, Jackie, you want to do some announcements? If you want to put down your seed catalog. Now she's making a face over there at me now. I got a Band-Aid on the side of my face where she smacked the heck out of me last week.
I deserved it. Masterson of Quest Benefit Hunter Jumper Show is going to be Easter weekend, whenever that is. Anybody know when Easter is?
I know. Go check a calendar over
anyway,
there.
Anyway, Friday, April 18th, Saturday, April 19th, and they're going to have an Easter egg hunt. So thanks to Macaulay's, a supporting sponsor.
Did I ever tell you about the time I fixed the Easter egg hunt at Mount Horeb Church? My little buddy and I, we were about 8 years old, and we were having a big Easter egg hunt, and you had a first prize and a booby prize. Well, we figured that out real quick. I gave him all my Easter eggs, and I had one Easter egg, and he had about 40 or something like that. He got the prize, and I got the booby prize. I got a yo-yo out of that deal, so I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, beginning of the life of whatever that is. Okay, Sunday, May the 11th. I'm putting this stuff in because nothing's going on right now here. Summerhill Training Center in Dry Ridge is having a driving clinic. $60 includes a stall for the day and light lunch. I guess you got to bring your own horse. I don't know. Bob Giles is a renowned driving clinician and a full-time competitor and champion, it says. So if you're interested in that, it's 859-760-8505. Ooh, here's what's coming up. 31st Annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction. Say that three times fast. Saturday, March 22nd at 9:30. It's at the Horse Park. It's right if you come in the main entrance and look to the right, you'll see it. All types of farm equipment, lawn, garden equipment. You can drop your stuff off Thursday, March 20th, Friday the 21st from 9 to 5. No, bring anything day of the sale. No, fuel tanks, tobacco sticks, camper tops are junk. Got that? No junk.
No junk. Well, that lets us out.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to walk around and look at it. No trucks, trailers, boats, or ATVs without proper titles.
No hot ones, huh?
No hot ones. So, Walt Robertson, Ryan Mahan, Tom Biederman will be the auctioneers. And that's fun to walk around and look at all that good stuff. Keeneland Library has an exhibit called Racing as It Was Meant to Be, heard that before, at the Hopewell Museum through the spring, essentially, in Paris. Hopewell Museum's on 800 Pleasant Street. You can't miss it. It runs through June the 1st, open Wednesday through Saturday from noon to 5, Sunday from 2 to 4. They say it's a really, really nice exhibit.
Yeah, well, I'll slip by there.
Now, you'll have to ask Michael how the thing went last week, the money raiser, the whiskey tasting money raiser went last week at the Sealbach.
Gosh, I hope he's recovered.
Yeah, well, he's not here yet, so if that's a clue. Milt Toby was on the show. He has a book about
Canyonero.
Canyonero, right. I should write that down because it wasn't coming up in the old brain. You can get it on Amazon, or you can go to MiltonToby.com and order yourself a signed copy of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, you should have brought yours in and let him sign it.
Well, I forgot it. And then he forgot to bring one.
Yeah.
But I read it, of course. Interesting book. It's interesting. The whole thing, the situation was interesting, you know, the horse. He came up here and he didn't have the proper papers, and he was stuck in quarantine down at in Florida, you know, and everything. Yeah. He was down there for 3 or 4 days or something like that, and then he came up here in a trailer. Didn't fly him up, but brought him up here in a trailer. And when he got here, you know, he was in bad shape, but he, obviously he recovered. And he was bred by Mr. E.B. Benjamin that boarded his horses over at Claiborne and put him in a sale. I talked to Carter Thornton about this one time. Carter sold him in a sale, and he said that Mr. Bull Hancock called him and, "Would you sell this colt?" I guess they didn't want to put him in because he was crooked. And well, he brought $1,200 anyway. Carter sold him. Carter sold 3 Derby winners, by the way.
Yep.
And Wolf Jr. and Galahaddy, and he also sold those. And he brought $1,200. And after he won the Derby, he said Mr. Benjamin called him and said, I thought that horse was really bad, really crooked. And he says, "Well, he was, but he straightened up pretty good in the winner's circle."
Exactly.
Yeah. I loved Carter. He was such a nice guy. Yeah. I mean, he was fun.
He was fun.
Yeah.
He had horses in our barn for a while, and it was just a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good time. All right. Mounted police in Lexington are needy for looking suitable mounts. So if you've got a draft cross, 16 hands, bay or gray, I think they want geldings. I don't know if they take mares or not. If you got something like that, it's a good home. Contact Barbara LaMonaco at blamonaco@transy.edu, or call the Mounted Police. They'll
be easier.
A lot easier than me. Okay. University of Kentucky Dressage and Eventing Team is having a Spring Hunter Pace Derby Day, Saturday, May 3rd, from 9 to 3 at Masters.
Oh, I'm sure we'll all go to that.
Oh, yeah.
Why would the world they do that on Derby Day?
I don't know. They didn't.
There won't be enough people there to get up a crap game, you know.
I know. I would think, but what do I know? Anyway, you have to have, and you have to have teams, I gather. So teams of 3 or 4 riders. So you got 3 or 4 people that don't care about the Derby. So there you are. TOBA is having an ownership seminar at Keeneland on April 18th. Bring your wallets and join right in. Now, the thoroughbred racing is unique in that people that aren't multimillionaires can get with their friends and everybody put up $1,000 or $2,000 and claim a horse or claim a mare and breeder, and you split the price and you have a big time. You get to name your stables and design your silks and all that good stuff, and you won't go broke. You might come up short a few times, but hopefully it won't send you into bankruptcy. So there.
Can I interrupt your second when you're
through
with that?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Well, in 2013, Orb won the race we all dream about, the Kentucky Derby. Not only that, he won the Grade 1 Florida Derby and the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth during the 5-race winning streak on the way to amassing earnings of $2,612,516. His earnings contributed to placing his sire, Malibu Moon, fourth on the general sire list and first among all sons of Sire of Sires, A.P. Indy. Now, Orb's Dam is a daughter of Classic winner, Classic Sire, and Sire of Sires Unbridled, who also stood at Claiborne Farm, incidentally, and is out of a winner of the coveted Black Eye Susan Stakes. Family has given us the likes of the Great Ruffian, Grade 1 Millionaire Private Terms, Grade 1 $2 million earner Carnotta's Quest, and a host of superior graded stakes winners. Kentucky Derby winner Orb is standing his first season at stud for $25,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, the Clay Ward Agency been in business now since Mr. James Clay Ward founded the business. The year 20 grand won the Kentucky Derby. If you don't know what year that was, look it up, but it was 82 years ago. And he established that business right in the middle of the, in the Depression, but he was successful because of the way he did business, which was hard work, excellent service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. And that tradition of hard work and service and horse sense is carried on today by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs, John Hess over at the Clay Ward Agency over in Paris, Kentucky. They know what they're doing, and they're the people you should deal with if you want to insure your horses and get the right insurance for your horses, and just they can do it for you. And the number, let me give you the number over in Paris. It's an 859 number, 987-1861. And, of course, the Clay Ward Agency is closely affiliated with one of the top farms over there in Bourbon County. It would be Indian Creek Farm. And they have a tradition at Indian Creek, too, and they've got a tradition for raising high-class runners and for selling high-class quality bloodstock at the major sales. And the list of high-class stakes winners they sold includes six champions and a long list of graded stakes winners. And long and impressive list and growing list, incidentally. So give them a call, and you can talk to Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan, 859-987-7443. And see the website at IndianCreek.com. That's 859-987-7443. Well, no biz like showbiz is siring hard-hitting winners at major tracks, and he is the sire of 27 first crop winners, two stakes winners, plus another to place in stakes. And they've made the winner circle at Aqueduct. That's where Let Me Entertain You won the Baru Stakes and placed in the Busher Stakes. Thank You Kisses has won stakes over at Indiana Downs, or I should say up at Indiana Downs, I guess. And others have won at major tracks like Pimlico and Lone Star and Woodbine and Arlington and Parks and Turfway and Hawthorne and Remington and Delaware and Tampa Bay, Colonial Downs. Just the other day, a colt named Sheila T's Boy. He's a three-year-old. He won a $58,000 allowance race at Oaklawn. He might be on the Derby trail. I'll have to check into that. Very impressive win. Now, No Biz Like Showbiz won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial and five other graded stakes, and he earned over $1,544,000. He stands for $5,000, doing the full stands and nurses. So ask about breeding incentives when you call them over there at Crestwood Farm. It's Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. It's a great place to board your mares, incidentally. Family operated. Treat the clients like family, and see the website at CrestwoodFarm.com. Alrighty. Well, Michael Blowen is here. Did Doc come with you, Michael? Is he?
Yeah, he's coming.
Is he coming?
He's
well,
coming.
That's great.
I got one more announcement.
You got one more announcement?
Keeneland Library is having a duplicate book sale.
I hope you wouldn't announce that, because I want to go with
that. Don't go.
No, go ahead.
VIP Day is March the 5th, so I guess you have to go the 6th and the 7th. But anyway, they're going to have a lot of good stuff out there.
VIPD?
VIPD.
Go early.
Oh,
I don't think it costs anything. But
who are the VIP people?
I think people VIP. That get this.
Oh, well, we got one.
We got one.
I don't know. I'll call
Early's
up and ask.
Going to be out there. Ursula's going to be there good and early.
Well, I was
going to go through the blood horse and other things to get pictures, get articles about our horses.
That's excellent
that
idea.
Especially the ones that were on the front page. Like Denard was on the front page like five or six times.
Yeah.
Mark Trina.
Resi, would you see if Doc needs a little help out there?
He's all right.
He's all right.
Okay. Matt's got him and Holly.
Matt and Holly?
Yeah.
Well, he'll grab a hold of that little blonde.
Beauty and the Beast.
That's what. I'm going to tell him you said that.
Don't. He's too big. He'll beat me up.
All right. All right. Well, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Did you see the racing form today?
Haven't had a chance to look at it.
Well, this is fabulous. They had a whole thing about David Jacobson in here.
Oh, yes, I read that. Sergius, I read that. That's great. We'll talk about it.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about it whenever you want.
All right. Well,
here comes a good doctor.
I won't.
Well, for about 10 years, we've been trying to get what Dr. Byers knows as sustained funding. It's like his favorite expression.
Yeah.
One of his favorite expressions. So we've been working on this deal where horses have a social security system. And we've been trying for years to try and get this pulled off. And what happened was I got a call from David Jacobson and Ed Bowden. Ed Bowden is the head of Drawing Away Stables. And we're talking about their horses because they have a lot of claiming horses, and you know, and they need places for them. And so we established the deal where if they donated $25,000, so we could build a paddock. They would have their special paddock. We'd put up their silks and put up a sign, and that would be their designated paddock, and they could retire horses to that paddock. And so that's great. And then it wasn't more than a few hours later, I got a wonderful call from a woman named Carolyn. She lives in Maryland, and she's one of the primary people in Bourbon Lane Stables.
Okay.
They have Bourbon Eyes and Bourbon Courage, and we retired one of their horses, Johannes Bourbon. In fact, when we retired Johannes Bourbon, Carolyn sent us $10,000. But in any case, they're going to do it too.
Oh,
so
great.
Now we got.
I got two.
We got two. Yeah. So Ron Wallace, who's heading up our construction team for and design team for the new paddocks, now has a little bit of money to work with. So,
well, that's certainly
that's really, really great. It's great. It's great because it's good. You know, it's good for them. It's good for us, and most importantly, it's good for the horses. You know.
Yeah, I had read that article.
Yeah, Dave Grenning did
it's
a really good story.
Edition.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's in Saturday's edition.
Are you steal?
No.
Well, no okay.
Oh, okay, I'll steal Sunday's.
Got to steal one.
I don't want you to steal one. I want to read it.
Okay. The whole story about David Jacobson actually is very, very interesting.
Watch your purse, Jackie.
Nothing in it.
Nothing in it.
That's always good, isn't it? That's the way I feel. I have no money. What difference does it make?
Yeah.
Is it identity theft? So what?
Yeah, right.
There's so many things when you're broke that aren't an issue.
Yeah.
Go ahead, steal it. What do I care? Leave the door open. I have nothing.
Oh, my.
But anyway, it's really, really, really something, and we're also we're working on some really nice events with Woodford Reserve and some really nice events with the West Six Brewery. So
let me just get Doc on here. Doc,
you want to talk to him?
Well, yeah,
I got some notes from Michael.
Yeah,
and what I wanted to talk about is. Brereton Jones and I had a brief conversation about 3 weeks ago, and said, "Well, he's very passionate that we get these racetracks to keep racing on their turf, not get these gaming." Places all over the place, you know, so you gotta, and so anyway, he would be wonderful to get in on the show.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's, like I say, he's, so I wrote some notes down, and I think, we've got all kinds of issues. There was a, and I told Michael, on KET, they had an internet gaming, expansion of internet gaming. And, they had five panelists. And, they all had their own agenda. Nobody was on the same page.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, and that's, but you've got, you say, well, where are the horses and where are the racing people going to wind up? They're not, and so,
you know, that's it's been an issue for so long.
Yeah.
You know, there's two separate issues here. Well, there's internet, so that means people can stay home. They don't have to go to the racetrack, and they can bet any track in the world practically from their phones now. So going to the track has become secondary for the gambling part of it for some people. They don't even have to go. And then, of course, you know, when you have the racing games, the instant racing that's passed another hurdle recently down at Kentucky Downs and at Ellis Park. You wonder how that's going to affect Turfway, especially with the casino moving in next door at River Downs.
They have to go to the racetrack for that.
Yes, you have to go to the racetrack for that. Exactly. And then you get Churchill Downs now, who says they don't care if they do get the casino, they want to put it downtown instead of at the track. So,
well,
there's a lot of there's a lot of things happening
downtown here too on the dock.
What's that?
If Keeneland, if they do casino racing, it'll go downtown. It'll go to the Red Mile, probably.
Yeah. Go someplace else. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I think the dynamics of having horses at the racetrack.
Yeah.
Just about gone.
Well, I hope not. I think it's going to be boutique. I think it's going to be boutique. Look at Keeneland. You can't get in there. You give me a sunny Saturday at Keeneland, they can squeeze more people in there than imaginable. The same thing happens at Saratoga.
Del Mar.
Same thing happens at Del Mar. If you and Gulfstream can get some really good crowds on their big days. So you get these fairgrounds gets good crowds, and you're just going to have smaller meets, and I hope better racing and fuller fields.
Well, the thing is even at boutique meets, they have to have the little guy out there to fill out the field.
No, absolutely.
And they're going to kill him.
Well, no, they won't.
You can't. Yes, you can't. No. If you're sitting up here on this hill and you've got a dozen horses, and most of them are going to be claimers, if you don't have any place to go, you have to close up and leave.
Well, I think probably that's going to be the case. There's going to be some racing. I don't think there's much justification for $2,500 non-winners of two lifetime claiming races.
Unless you own it and train it.
No, but I mean, it doesn't even make any sense, because even if you own it and train it, you're losing money. You can't feed a horse on those purses. You win the race, you get $600. Yeah. The horse runs every 2 weeks, you win $600 every 2 weeks, you're still not paying his bills.
Doc, you stirred up a hornet's nest this morning.
Yeah,
that's what he does, and then he just steps back and doesn't say anything.
Wait a minute, you have to realize that it's an upside-down pyramid. The purses never, all the purses in the world, never equal the expense. That's the difference. Most prizes and sports or whatever, it's not a business to make money. It's upside down.
Well, I agree that it's not a business to make money. It should be fun. You get in it for fun because it's a great sport. And the fuller field you have and the better horse you have, the more fun it is. And I'm certainly, I only had $3,500 claiming horses when I owned horses, and I'm certainly sympathetic to that. But all I'm saying, and I'm not saying that this is the greatest thing that's going to happen, but I am saying that the tracks that are going to survive are the ones that put on a great show, have superstars that come in, they're going to draw a crowd, and that's where you're going to draw them to the track. Now you can have the smaller tracks, and you can bet on them over the internet and all that kind of stuff. But you go to Beulah Park on a Wednesday afternoon, and there's 1,800 people there at the most, and I'm the youngest person there at 67. that's not a perfect business model either.
Speaking of perfect business model, I've got to have a commercial break.
The perfect business model is the 10-cent superfecta.
All right. Yeah, it'll answer the big spenders over here, Doc.
Yeah.
Well, Flotilla, winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf as a 2-year-old, winner last year of the Group 1 Classic French 1000 Guineas, turned in another game performance on February 20 at Medan, finished second in the Group 2 Balanchine Stakes. That boosted her earnings to a very tidy $966,102, so she's getting close to being another millionaire by Mizzenmast. Now, Flotilla was a co-champion 2-year-old filly of her year in France that same day that she ran second in over there, Eden Prairie, after posting two consecutive stakes wins at the fairgrounds, ran a good second in the Bayou Handicap at the fairgrounds, to the older class included. Now, prior to her two stakes wins, she was second, just got beat a quarter of a length in the Grade 2 Raven Run, just beat a half length in the Appalachian Stakes, both those at Keeneland. She's earned nearly $250,000. So if you want to get into the action, take a good look at Mizzenmast. She's sired 5 Grade 1 winners and the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races. That's why his yearling sold for up to $380,000 last year. And his Misdirection sold for $2,700,000 as a racing breeding prospect just last fall. Mizzenmast stands for $20,000 live foal to Judmont Farm, home also the Grade 1 winner First Defense, sire of Grade 1 winner Millionaire in his first crop. Now, inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at Judmont
Com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Sunday at Gulfstream, the 10 Palm Stakes was won by Regal Signal, daughter of More Than Ready, bred by the Gulf Coast Farms, and a $190,000 graduate of the OBS March sale. Ready Signal is the 130th stakes winner sired by More Than Ready. Only one other active sire at stud in North America has sired more. Internationally respected, More Than Ready is the sire of 58 graded or group stakes winners, including grade one or group one stakes winners in seven countries. His progeny has earned more than $107 million. He is the sire of 16 grade one or group one stakes winners. So it's no wonder that in 2013, his sales yearlings average $121,517. More Than Ready is a representative of the famed Halo line, stands for $50,000 doing a full stanza nurses, and he's at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Kyle Wilson. Number over there, 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Doc, getting back to Dr. Byers here. Berger was out here just a few minutes ago.
He was?
Yeah, he came out here with Wayne Mackey over there. And he's got horses with Wayne Mackey. He was watching something gallop.
Great.
I got to tell you a story that he told me, and I assume he's telling the truth. The Seaview Hotel down in...
Jose Seaview's horse.
Okay, down in Florida.
Yeah.
He has named four horses after people who work there, you know, they work in the kitchen or they're wherever, you know, the manager, the so forth, you know, four horses. Three of them have won stakes. One of them goes in the stakes today at Houston.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's on a roll with the Seaview. I wonder if they let him board there for free when he goes down there now.
Probably now they do. Well, Jose Seaview, one of his really nice horses, won the display stakes up in Canada at Woodbine.
Yeah.
After he won, the purse, Governor Jones sent us 20% of the winner share, which is like $11,000. Jose Seaview. Love that horse.
If you ever go to Florida, you're going to have to stay at the Seaview.
Yeah, absolutely.
You hear that, Doc? The Seaview Hotel is the place to go.
He's going to start naming.
Right, get a little closer to that.
He's going to start naming horses Seaview, even if they never get close to the ocean.
You got something else you want to say over here, Doc?
Well, I made a list of different things that are potential threats and to the racing industry as we know it.
Okay.
And so, you know, we've got instant racing. You don't need a horse.
I don't know for sure.
And so we've got a lot of things that are out there, and then we've got quarter horses, and we've got Arabs, and we've got, you know, all the other breeds that have never established themselves.
Yeah.
But they could. They could have. And I think we just want to keep the racing viable. And Michael said you got to have fun. Well, that's true. But when these guys are making a lot of money, they're having fun, and the other guy are not. So it's all that. But anyway, I had just had those notes, and I think we've got a lot to do. And I think having somebody like Brereton helping to organize the future, we need to pay attention to that.
We can talk him into doing it. You know, he was...
He spent an awful lot of time trying to help this sport.
He sure has.
You know, with no pay, no nothing, just trying to help the sport, knocking his head up against the wall.
Yeah, it was a keep program.
All kinds of, you know, trying to work through the legislature and, you know, everything getting bogged down up there. Meantime, you know, everybody, it's like the casino thing. Yeah. You know, they're going to get a casino in Louisville, it appears. And
they already have
a casino in
right across
in
Louisville.
Yeah, it's 15 miles away or whatever it is. It's from downtown. I mean, you know, I think it may help certain things, but I mean, it's a little late. There's a lot of casinos. I mean, people want to play a slot machine. There's not one far from their house.
Mm-hmm. And now we can't lose people like Brereton, Damon Thayer, others that give some direction to where we're going. Yeah. And, you know, I think that panel that they had on KET was pretty insightful, but they were, like I say, they were, nobody had it, their arms wrapped around it at all.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of spokes in a wheel, but none of them are attached to the wheel.
Yeah.
You know,
shotgun approach.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, my feeling's always been it takes a little longer and a little more perseverance and it takes a little more time, but if you keep concentrating on the athletes and the joy of the sport instead of worrying about, you know, the other stuff all the time, you know, you'd be a lot better off. I mean, just think of how much money that's been spent on lobbying for the slot machines here in Kentucky and casinos here, the millions and millions and millions of dollars. If they'd put that back into the sport and promoting the sport and doing that sort of thing, then we'd have less to worry about. We get more people. I mean, I don't understand why the tracks aren't out at all the Rotary clubs and all the different clubs around town. They're always looking for luncheon speakers and people to promote the sport. You know, have a little outreach program. Heck, I'd go to nursing homes and pile them into buses, take them out.
They do.
I'll drive too. We'll get Doug to drive. But, yeah, I mean, go out and show people. Show them some races on TV. You know, get them excited about the sport. And then you've got something, and you're building a really strong foundation rather than always being dependent. And even if they did get the casinos, the whole history of that is, for the first few years it works out fine for racing, and then all of a sudden they find other uses for the money.
Yeah.
And they're genuinely needy uses, but – again, it doesn't in the long run help racing very much.
Well, like it's happened in a lot of the states that okay, casino racing, you know, the state comes and eventually comes in and takes money away anyway. It's happened in Pennsylvania, Canada, West Virginia, you know.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, I said Pennsylvania.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. Pay attention, will you? What the hell is
Connecticut? Oh, no, they don't have racing. Hey, they're trying to get racing in Georgia. A guy called me the other day as the head of the Georgia Racing Commission, and they want to establish retirement as part of their founding documents. So,
I had a good friend who was 92 years old when I met him, Fred Ross, and this was back in the 70s. Now, early 70s, I met Fred, and I kind of looked after Fred a little bit, you know. Used to drive around in a 49 Ford. Anyway, he had told me a story about he'd done everything. Steeplechase, you know, hunt meets, race, flat road races and everything. And he's talking about racing in Georgia. He'd been down there. And he said, boy, says it was tough. It was tough. So it was so tough, says we had to go to the chicken fights where we could pick up the losers to eat.
Jeez, oh my God.
Now they have these bitcoins.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
So
they just collapsed the day before yesterday. It's an internet currency system.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It was invisible money. Now, there's an idea.
Most of mine is invisible.
Anyway. I think if we should be optimistic, but we got to pay attention to to what's going on. Yeah. And I don't think we, in watching that panel, I don't know that we really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It just too.
Who was on the panel? Can you say? Can you remember?
They had the guy from Churchill Downs. They had a an anti-gaming leader. Like I say, there were five of them on there, and nobody picked up the
what would be helpful to racing.
It just
Churchill, of course, is a corporation. It's a,
the
bottom line.
Yeah. It is.
The last purchase they made was a casino in Maine.
Oh, I've got one other thing I want to ask you after this break.
Okay.
Can I say one thing before the break?
What can I say?
Well, there's something called the Family Foundation that always shows up and raises all this kind of hell and everything.
They were there.
Okay, let me tell you. That's four people and a website. One of them lives in Corbin. One of them lives somewhere else. This is not a massive grassroots movement. It's four people and a website.
Yeah, well, it's not surprising. I mean, all these people are paid lobbyists. They're all paid
All right, well, February 22 in New York, $100,000 Stymie Handicap was won by Farhan, a multiple New York Stakes winner from the first crop by Jazzle. Now, the Stymie was the first start for Farhan since he won the Lord of the Night Stakes at Aqueduct on December 13, boosted his earnings to right at $218,000. Now, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, Farhan, trained by Kieran McLaughlin. Jazzle's first crop also includes Narjar, winner of the 2013 Sycamore Stakes at Keenan. He also placed in the Arlington Classic, the American St. Ledger Stakes at Arlington, the Grade 3 Louisville Handicap, Group Stakes winner in South America and in Europe, and the Fleet to Sizzle. Trains out here, incidentally. He ran second in the Grade 3 Aristides at Churchill, placed in two more stakes. Second crop stakes horses by Jazzle, placed in stakes at Woodbine, Delaware, and in Group Stakes in France. Jazzle, originally scheduled to stand in South America, stays in Kentucky for the 2014 season, standing in a Shadwell Farm, $4,000 live foal. But your stallion manager, Kent Barnes, a call, 224-4585, because of that change in plans, late plans. They want to maybe make a deal with you there. 224-4585. Ask about breeding incentives. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. I meant to check with Ralph Quillen about his bar, but I still haven't done it. I don't know what happened.
I think we should do live broadcasts
from the bar.
Ralph's Brewery.
Hell, we'd never finish.
Right, what difference would
we
it make?
We would never last 2 hours. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you about, how your tasting went while ago.
Oh,
but
okay.
Anyway, but let me get to it. Of course, Ralph has Quillen Leather and Tack down in Paris, Kentucky. Been there since 1982. Been there a long time. You know, Ralph was a fireman before he did that.
Really?
Yeah, he was on the Lexington Fire Department. And anyway, it's Quillen Leather and Tack is down at it's on South Main Street in Paris, Kentucky. If you're going in from the Lexington area and the Paris Lexington Road, just go to the third stoplight and look on your left, and you'll find it. Great tack shop. Nation's largest custom halter shop, anyway, selling over 17,000 halters a year. They've got a great gift shop there. I mean, it's a wonderful place.
It's a great place.
It really is fun to go in there.
Yes, I got to go pick up some belts and some halters this week sometime, too.
Oh, well, good.
I'm getting a belt made for my grandson who lives in Australia. He wants his own belt.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, how old's your grandson?
Eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's a pretty young one, one of those belts.
He's a sophisticated kid.
Doc, somebody put that other chair over there for Doc. He wanted to get up.
I'm fine.
There's one one right there. Anyway, it's a great tack shop. Go visit. Go in and talk to Sandy or Debbie and ask them about a possible 10% discount if you live around here. And once again, it's right down in Paris. And we're going to find out more about that bar that he's opening down there. He's got a brewery. I think he's making his own. You know, you'd think he was hangover from Prohibition times.
Great. This is great.
Brewing his own.
He'll be smiling a lot more now.
All right. The Daily Racing Form, their breeding edition has kind of expanded, incidentally.
And you won't find it all in Sundays today. I don't think I was looking through there, but now they've got new features starting right now. As myself, on Mondays they give you a weekend stakes recap, stakes calendar. On Tuesday the buyer speed profile, a young sire profile, and the breeder of the week. On Wednesdays they give you the broodmare of the week, Dan Ilman's pedigree handicapping column, road to the Kentucky Derby rankings. That starts on February 5, incidentally. That's next Wednesday, isn't it? On Thursdays, the consigner of the week for product spotlights. And twice a month, they're going to do that. Friday is John Sparkman's column. It's daily racing form, and this is free now. If you go to drf.com/breeding today, drf.com/breeding today, you got nothing to lose. And a whole lot to gain, because very interesting stuff that they put out on Daily Racing Form. It's the Bible of racing, you know. So you can get an advanced look at Daily Racing Form's top reading stories and exclusive access to Daily Racing Form's buyer speed figures and by sires, by winners of all ages, all classes, running on every type of racing service. It's a great service, as a matter of fact. And they've got great writers, and I would recommend that you go to it. Let me give you that website one more time. It's drf.com/breeding today. And talk about Reborn. And
so our horse is on Reborn now.
Yours is on Reborn?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Alde's really helped us a lot.
Oh, okay. What am I jumping ahead? Oh, okay.
You just finished that trifecta. Now he's going for the super.
Well, everything's out of place here.
Well, I don't know whose responsibility that is. Must be Jackie. It's your fault.
Jackie did it. How the hell did I do that?
That's why he has a big staff here, so he's got. He can blame it. Russie, me, you. Blames Dr. Byers. Of course, Doug's never to blame anyway. So
what I wanted, what I wanted to ask you was. Did you recover from your bourbon tasting?
Oh, that was great. That was really great. I'm telling you, all the bourbons that were there were really, really great. And of course, we have a real special relationship with Woodford Reserve. They've helped us enormously in the past. It was really, really a great event. We made a few $1,000 and had a great time. That was really, really, really terrific. We're also going to be doing a fundraiser with West 6 Brewery downtown, which is going to be nice.
Now, that's the one on 4th Street?
Yes.
Okay.
On 6th.
On 6th?
6th near Jefferson.
Yeah.
That's why it's called West 6th Brewery and not West 4th Brewery. It's easy to remember when they put the address in the name of the place.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, and Weta has Smithtown there. They have great seafood there. The clam chowder in that place is great. So anyway,
if you had just told me where it was, right where the old Honeycrust Bakery used to be, I would have known where it was.
He has to get these old maps, you know, like the ones Columbus used to find his way around town.
Yeah, I tell you what,
because he remembers them by their old name, like the New World.
I could get lost in Lexington now. I tell you what, I'm not, you know,
too many one way streets.
Even Paris is getting too big. I'm thinking about moving to Centerville. You know.
Well, that is great. Well, there's going to be some great racing. And speaking of Brereton Jones, you got that nice horse Albano that almost won last week. Lost by a nose, almost went wire to wire. Really good looking horse.
Yeah, he's named after one of the
Seaview
people. Yeah. He was telling me about that, you know. It was fun. He was out here today with...
there's a good example. He has a very successful operation. It's financially successful. It's really, really well managed. He's got some really nice stallions out there. And on top of it all, he really has fun. He just has a ball doing this.
He and Ken Ramsey enjoy racing more than two people I've ever known.
He just adores it.
Yeah. Well, he's been very successful.
Yep.
You know, he's been advertised with me since 1978 or something.
Well, that must be the answer. The key to racing profits.
Ursel.
Advertising with Ursel.
Yeah. What else?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, my friend.
All right, I'm going to go out this afternoon. I got a couple at Aqueduct I got to play and then go home. And I think we're going to get some tours today because the weather's a little bit nicer.
All righty.
So if anybody would like a tour, we're there all day today, so give us a call, 502-863-1775. Come out, we'll show you some of our new horses are out now, Rail Trip, Cat Launch, some of the really nice ones are out galloping around having a ball. So we'll invite you out there, tell you stories about the horses, and have some fun.
Okay.
Ursel, thanks so much.
All righty. Well, Doc, thanks for coming in, too. We appreciate it. Hey, and Rissy, you can give Doc a hand there?
Yes, sir.
We can get through this all right. Yeah. Go grab a hold there.
He's got Holly. He's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a hold of the blonde. Yep. Hey, Doc, watch that.
I don't want Rusty. He wants to get caught up.
Oh, Holly's a cutie anyway. She's our medic is here, you know. So he's got his arm around Holly out there. I know. There he goes. You might have known. Well, the first foals by Arch, Temple City and War is award 2-year-olds, and you're going to have an opportunity to see several of them at upcoming sales. The first one to sell is at Barrett's on Monday. That's the 3rd, March the 3rd, on Monday. And the word's already out that this colt's a runner. He's a colt by Arch. Got a beautiful way of moving. The general manager at Barrett's, Kim Lloyd, watched him blow away other sales colts in the workout with a move he described as one you only see from the good ones. Now, that's a direct quote from the general manager out at Barrett's. Now, Arch, of course, is a grade one stakes winner. He is by Arch, who's done extremely well at stud. And like Temple City and Warriors Reward, he stands at Spencer Farm. Now, Temple City is a graded stakes winner and a track record breaker by Dyna Former. He is out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon. And, of course, Malibu Moon's a sire only for you, his most recent stakes winner. Undefeated she is. She won the grade 2 Devona Dale just last Saturday. Great pedigree, great sire pedigree. Warriors Awards, a grade 1 stakes winner by Medaglia d'Oro, and his first crop yearlings averaged 5 times the stud fee in 2013, so he's siring good-looking horses. Arch stands for 10,000, Temple City for 5, Warriors Award for 12,500, and the fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses, and all three are eligible for Spendthrift Farms Breed Secure Program. If you don't profit, you don't pay. Can't beat that. Call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Now I can talk about my commercials at Reef about Reborn and Lubricin, two products that I happen to believe in, incidentally. And both of them to develop a Dr. Steve Alday, one of the country's top vets, and they're endorsed by many owners and trainers and veterinarians. Both of them are. Both, incidentally, are all natural. They're test-free. You don't have to worry about, passing a spit box when they're Lubricin. To put it simply, it sustains the integrity of the joint fluids and can help reduce the cost for painful acid injections. And trainers that use Lubricin on a regular basis include Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. And they also have Lubricin for humans, incidentally. Jackie uses it, and it's a great product. She swears by it. She says she can tell when she stops taking it. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. It's safe and easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals. It strengthens the foal's immune system immensely while nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. So it's, a lot of people run on, a lot of horses run on that too. For instance, Wise Dan did.
Huh.
Two-time horse of the year. So it supports immune functions of all ages. And it provides, a quicker recovery from physical challenges. Now, so for more information about Lubricin and Reborn, let me give you their website. It's Lubricin, LubriSyn.com, or Reborn, REBORNE.com. And around Lexington here, you can get Lubricin over at Old Friends. You can also get it at KBC in Lexington and the Horse Sense down in Versailles. And you can get Reborn at KBC and at Horse Sense. So, All right, two great products that I'm proud to be associated with. Alternation is one of 10 millionaires sired by distorted humor. He commands a stud fee of $100,000, and that fee is justified by the facts that distorted humor is top the North American sire list, and he's ranked among the top 10 sires 7 times. Now, the dam of alternation is Alternate, a multiple stakes winner of over $550,000. She placed in 5 graded stakes. Alternate's a half-sister by the great Seattle Slough to champion Peaks and Valleys. He won over $1,589,000. Terrific pedigree. A pedigree that's, well, it's already given us the outstanding sire, Broken Vow, who also stands, incidentally, at Pin Oak Stud. Now, Alternation won graded stakes at Belmont, graded stakes at Pimlico, 2 graded stakes at Oaklawn. He won 2 other stakes, incidentally, and he earned over $1 million. He's a runner with a great pedigree, and it looks to match. Alternation standing his first season at stud this year, $7,500, doing a full stanza nurses. Stands Pin Oak Stud, home also of Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Righty, I think I've got time to do... Hey, Warren, how are you doing? Good to see you, my friend. Be right with you. I've got Warren Lister coming in, going, come on over and sit down. Might as well sit down. Why, you want a Coke or something?
No, I'm good.
Don't have any beer or anything, but my little...
Well,
it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let me give you the winners of Kentucky Bred Winners of Stakes over the weekend. This compliments of Kentucky Thoroughbred Association in Topham and David Schweitzer. The grade 2 Devona Dale down at Gulfstream Park went to Only For You, a Malibu Moon filly. She's 4 for 4, bred by Elm Tree Farm. And Papa Top. I don't know who Papa Top is. It's some kind of a lock company or something like that. I don't know. The only thing I can do is crack a beer open and you pop a top or something. The grade 2 Barbara Fritchie up at Laurel, winner, was bred by PHW Equine Investments. The Canadian Turf, grade 3 at Gulfstream, went to Reload, bred by the Phipps Stables. And probably going to end up at Stillett over there at Claiborne Farm. The grade 2 Risen Star at the fairgrounds went to Intense Holiday. That's a Harlan's Holiday colt, bred by Mockmer Hall and Haymarket Farm. Went by nose over Albano, who was by his stand, racing for Burr Jones. The grade 3 fairgrounds Oak winner was Potomac River, bred by Mirrorworth Farm. And let's see, the Rachel Alexander, grade 3, down at the fairgrounds, went to Untappable, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. The Bayou Handicap at the fairgrounds, winner was Class Included. So that's an Include mare. She's 6 years old. She's win $600,000 there. Tough old mare. I think she's won 11 stakes. Graded stakes winner, bred by Michael and Amy Fuhrborn, Kentucky bred. The Stymie in New York, $100,000 pot, went to Frahan. That's a 5-year-old horse by Jazzle, who's going to, it was originally scheduled to go to South America, but he's staying in Kentucky at Shadwell Farm. And he was, Farhan was bred and is owned by Shadwell Farm. Kieran McLaughlin trains him. Turf Paradise Derby went to Lots of Mischief. That's a 3-year-old colt from the first crop of In the Mischief, bred by Spendthrift Farm. Of course, that's the home of In the Mischief. The Super Stakes, a Tampa Bay winner, our double play. That's a grand slam. 4-year-old colt, of course, Grand Slam stood at Ashford Stud. He's gone now, deceased. W.D. Burris was the breeder. The Joe Hernandez Stakes out at Santa Anita winner went to a Sweet Swap, bred by the Craig Family Trust. The Spring Fever Stakes at Oaklawn Park went to Heir of Distinction, bred by Bill Harrigan, Mike Petrangelo and Mark McEntee, one of the McEntee brothers. I think they're all three back in Kentucky now. The Peak of Slough Stakes at Calder went to Malam, bred by Fred W. Hertrich III and John D. Fielding. And let's see, the Silks Run Stakes, which was Thursday down at Gulfstream. Bold Thunder won that, and Bold Thunder was bred by the Amir Group, A-M-E-E-R, another one. I don't know very well, but that's all right. They don't know me either, I guess. Well, awesome again. Aside 14 grade 1 winners, 3 last year. and they've won 31 grade one stakes. Here's sides, 9 millionaires, 5 multimillionaires, 4 winners of Breeders' Cup races. Here's side, more grade one stakes winners on the dirt than any active sire in the world. He has no peer. And he has sired a member of racing's Hall of Fame in the Brilliant Gold Sapper. Like his sire, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and like his sire, nationally ranked among the leaders on the 2013 North American Sire List. Awesome again among the world's elite sires, stands for $75,000, Gold Sapper for $50,000. Those fees, you don't have to pay them until the foal stands up and nurses. Both of them, of course, stand in Adena Springs, home also of grade one winners and millionaires, Alphabet Soup, Einstein, Fort Larned, Macho Uno, Point of Entry, Tiago, Touch Go. Every stallion standing at Adena Springs with foals to race a full season at 3-year-olds is a proven grade one sire. To breed to a real racehorse, call a farm. They've got a bunch of them over there. 859-987-1798 and see the website at AdenaStallions.com.
WLXT Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville, what might sell cars?
Well, last Saturday at the fairgrounds, Bayou Handicap was won by class, included a 6-year-old mare by Include. She's a typical Include. She's won 13 of her 25 starts, 11 stakes, including graded stakes. She's earned over $630,000. She's the second 2014 stakes winner for Include. His 3-year-old daughter, Joint Return, won the $100,000 Busher Stakes at Aqueduct on February 1, posting her third consecutive win from 4 starts. Now, Include has sired 6 Grade 1 winners, plus another 13 that have placed in Grade 1 stakes. Just 3 races after class in Include's score in the Bayou Handicap, Albano, a 3-year-old colt by Istan, nodded at the wrong time, just got beat a nose in the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes by Intense Holiday, a colt by Harlan's Holiday. They went into the Risen Star off a closing third to Carol Prince in the Grade 2 Holy Bull at Gulfstream. Include in his stand at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Include for 12,500 live foal. His stand for 3,500 live foal. See the website at airdreestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty. Well, I've got, we're starting the second hour now. Of Horse Tales, and Warren Lister was kind enough to say that he'd come in and sit down and have a little chat. When they get up close to that microphone, Warren, it ain't going to bite you.
Glad to be here. It's nice for you to invite me, Ursel.
Well, known you for quite a while, but I've never had you on the show, and I had your brother Wayne on many years ago.
Well, I don't know if I'm, you know, as well-spoken as he is, but I can tell you this, sitting here listening to you is like, we used to sit at the dinner table, and I won't mention what year, but a long time ago when I was younger, listen, you'd do the race results, and we had to be quiet so my dad could hear the results.
I knew your dad real well. I knew your dad. Did you know that?
I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, Bud.
Yep.
Yeah, I got to know him. I was, of course, he was a war hero, and he... I think they left him on for dead on one of those
Iwo Jima.
Iwo Jima, yeah.
Had several brain surgeries.
Yeah.
Was lucky enough that for that time to survive.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I bet you are appreciative.
I am.
Well, bless his heart. He's gone now, but he was, you know, I always admired him, you know, and I was proud to have known him.
Thank you. It was... I feel privileged to have him for a father.
Well, I bet you do. Yeah. Well, getting over World War II there, you've got a farm down in Bourbon County. It is in Bourbon County. Isn't it?
Right. It is. Just a couple miles north of Centerville on Hawkins Cummins, not too far from Denali and a few other farms there.
So, it's on Hawkins Cummins.
Hawkins Cummins and part of it's on Russell Cave.
So yeah, right now did it hook around and comes out on 460, one end of Hawkins Cummins?
One end does, but I'm on the other end.
You're on the t'other end.
I'm on the other end. On the northern end.
Well, we don't live too far apart.
Not at all. I see you at the getting gas in a form once in a while there in Paris. So.
Well, I pick up my forms here now.
Well, I get mine at BP. I think you get gas there. I assumed you've gotten a form there too.
So. Well, you know, no, that's the only place. Always got them here.
That's the only place we can get them in Paris.
In Paris, yeah, right, so on Main Street there. Right, get all my gas there. Nice people run that place, you know.
But they sell the form.
I go there because of
They take our business checks. Yeah. Well, so
I do too. That's part of the reason.
Yeah. And I was going to work out a deal with Ken's there, but every time you take a business check in there, you know, you had to go back and get it okayed. And I said, that's a pain in the rear end.
But that's exactly, I get my diesel and for the farm and most of my fuel at the same place, BP there, because I can give them a check.
Yeah. Well, you're just about as close to Georgetown almost, aren't you?
10, 11 miles.
6 1/2 dozen the other.
Choose which way you want to go.
Yeah.
So. But I go to Paris. So.
Now, what do you call your farm?
Tarleton.
Okay.
It was named after a brigadier general and a cavalry general in the Revolutionary War. And I get the dickens sometimes from my sons when they were younger because he was a British general. Uh-huh. But he was feared, and I just like the name.
You like it?
Like the history, like the name.
I thought maybe you were just picking the wrong side.
Well, you know, at that time we were English. You know, they were. I'm glad it turned out like it turned out.
I've got to ask you this: where schools are anymore? Where's your son go to school? Where'd he go?
Well, but one of my sons went to Bourbon County, as I did, and the youngest one, who gave me the most static, went to Lexington Catholic.
Oh, okay. And, so they're teaching him a little history over there.
Well, I thought he was going to get a little religion there, but he came home with the history.
So. Well, some of them don't come home with anything anymore. You know how that goes.
But he refused to wear the Tarleton cap for 2 years at the yearling sale.
Is that right?
And then he got over it.
That's pretty good.
So,
well, let me ask you now. Are you a native of Kentucky? Or?
I'm not. My father and family were all from Philadelphia and suburb of Philadelphia. And he always wanted to have a horse farm have a farm. And when we moved here in the early 60s, him being crippled, he didn't know if he wanted standard breads or thoroughbreds. Uh-huh. And they were used to Brandywine. And he went to trots and pace and races in Lexington here all the time. And
yeah,
but I think the market, the Keeneland sales convinced him maybe that thoroughbreds were the way to go.
Yeah. Well, I met him back in the 60s.
Yeah. This was in 19. We moved here in 1961.
Did he? Well,
so and I was, you know, about 9 or 10 then. We're giving away our age now, but that I was 10 when we moved here.
I loved it.
I was glad to be
down here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, to hit the farm when I wasn't, you know, we had newfound freedom that you didn't have.
Yeah.
You know, in the city.
How did your dad get interested in horses to begin with?
Actually, he was a third generation construction, and his grandfather at the turn of in the early 1900s, they had a stable of workhorses, and they moved their dirt and mm-hmm. excavation with horses, and they had like 10 teams that they used around Philadelphia in those times. So he was always interested in that.
Okay. Yeah, and then he got interested in in it. And,
right. You know, he liked going to Brandywine. In those days, Pennsylvania didn't have paramutual.
Now, Brandywine was a trotting horse track.
It was a trotting horse track in
Pennsylvania.
And it was in Delaware, but it was it was just a stone's throw away from Philadelphia.
Is it still there?
It is still there. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure, but I think.
Yeah. Okay. Only Brandywine I knew, you know.
We went there.
Pam and Jim Robinson's place over
right,
there.
Right, right. So, but, you know, again, he liked to go to the thoroughbreds at the same time.
Now, what thoroughbred tracks you go to up
there? He would go to Monmouth in those days.
Okay.
And then, of course, whenever, later on, you know, when he started buying fillies, he, in Pennsylvania got, paramutual wagering. He was at, Liberty Bell, which is now, mm-hmm. Keystone or Parks. So, but, and I've been to most of those places with him. So.
Yeah. Bill Greeley used to be up there.
Bill Greeley and Howard Battle both.
Yeah. That's true. So, did you know him up there at that time?
I did not know him, but, Bill Greeley always was nice to me for no reason. And he and Howard would talk about that over dinner sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, two nice guys for that.
Wonderful men. Good for the horse business.
Yeah, they were. They
as you are.
Oh, so, I don't know about that.
I think so. Lifetime in it.
Just, well, you know, hither and yon. I've done it all, but none of it very well.
So, well, you know, there's different levels and different ways of doing all of it to get to the same place, either the races or the sales. And the older I get, I realize I've really been privileged to have been part of this business. We're privileged to work with these animals, and if you can make your living doing it, that's even sweeter.
So what did you start out working for your dad?
I did. Used to get off the school bus, and he was running a Hittaway farm, and I used to get off the school bus on
that,
the way
was
home.
That the Buckley's at that time?
Buck Hinkle.
Oh, Buck Hinkle's place.
The
okay.
There in Paris. Used to get off the school bus and work 2 or 3 hours every afternoon, yeah. And of course weekends. So
yeah, now did your dad have a farm?
He did. He had a small farm and kept his mares there.
Where was that? Now
we were actually he was over on Hill Road, which is near Centerville, and then he moved. At that time, when he was managing Hittaway Farm, we moved to North Middletown.
Okay,
and he had a place across from that farm, Alapa. Which is a beautiful farm.
Oh, my God, yeah. It
had a small farm there.
Yeah, so that you grew up on farms.
I did. Basically. I used to lead some of those mares across the street when Claiborne had an annex. And
yeah, that's right. They used the Lapa there for a while, didn't they?
Yep, they did. And I used to have to, if we had a mare in heat or going to one of their stallions, I used to have to walk them over. And
yeah.
At that time, I was 14 or 15, and I pretty much thought they were all a bag of bones, and I didn't want to walk. and those stallion grooms at Claiborne would tease me about, here he comes, everybody else is driving, and you're walking.
So. Yeah.
But now, I mean, it makes a nice story now, but it was a good life.
Yeah. So you went to schools in Bourbon County.
I did. I graduated from Bourbon County High.
Bourbon County High.
I did.
So, okay, let me take care of somebody else in Bourbon County. You don't sit still. No, I'm not chasing you off. I got to stop new commercials. You got up to leave. You're going to leave me hanging here.
I figured you'd had enough of me.
No. Well, in 2013, the Orb won the race we all dream about. Of course, that's the Kentucky Derby. Not only that, he won the Grade 1 Florida Derby and the Grade 2 Fountain Youth, doing a 5-race winning streak on the way to amassing earnings of over $2,612,000. His earnings contributed to placing his sire, Malibu Moon, fourth on the general sire list and first among all sons of sire's AP Indy. Now, Orb's Dam is a daughter of classic winner, classic sire, and sire of sire's Unbridled. She's out of a winner of the coveted Black Eyed Susan Stakes. And the family's given us the likes of Ruffian, Grade 1 Millionaire, Private Terms, Grade 1 $2 million earner, Carnotta's Quest, and a host of superior graded stakes winners. Kentucky Derby winner Orb, standing his first season at stud, stands for $25,000. Don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses, and of course, he's at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries at Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com. All right, I want to talk about my friends Hill and Reagan Parker. That's Lex. Let me give you the website. They're in the real estate business. That's lexhorsefarms.com, lexhorsefarms.com. And they've been in the real estate business for about 12 years now. Of course, Hill's a hands-on horseman, A-level pony clubber. He trains a bunch of winners, since they had one just the other day up at Turfway, one of those days when they were running, and which he had to work that in pretty good. Anyway, they've got great references. They're people you can trust. And they've got great listing. That website, as I say, lexhorsefarms.com. They've got program farms in Fayette, Bourbon, Jessamine, Woodford, Scott, Clark. One of those Bourbon farms is right close to my guest here today, Warren Lister's over. I believe it's on the other end of that road that you're on. What's the name of that road again?
Hawkins Cummins.
Yeah, they've got a farm listed for sale over on Hawkins Cummins. And great neighborhood. You get on the other side of it, though, it kind of gets a little bad because that's where I live. But anyway, they've got just a kind of, if you're looking for the right place, they can find you just a perfect farm for you. And they are just nice people to do business with, people you can trust. Like I say, they got farms all over them, right up the road here on Muir Station. They've got a nice place right up here on the Paris Lexington Road. Got a great farm over, 462-acre farm over there. The one on Hawkins Cummins is 75 acres, and it's priced right. It's got a barn, 33 stalls, and 2 barns. And it got a bungalow on it, a 1920s restored bungalow, and it's
It's a great location there. If you want to get on the other side of town, they've got farms in Winchester. They've got farms. Well, you name it, and they've got it. So they're wonderful people to do business with. And go to that website. It's www.lexhorsefarms.com. And their phone number to Lexington number is 608-8039. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. Well, Champion Midas Touch is a result of one of the world's best pedigrees. His sire, Galileo, has no peer at the races and or in the sales arena. His dam, the stakes winner Approach, is a daughter of famed sire and broodmare sire Darshan. Sire some 100 stakes winners and a broodmare sire 225 stakes winners. Through 2013, Darshan's average earnings index was the highest among the top 20 leading broodmare sires, higher than Stormcats, AP Indy, Satterswell, Dane Hills. With such a pedigree, Midas Touch could hardly miss at the races, and he didn't. He was a champion 3-year-old of his year in Ireland, and he also placed in classics in Great Britain. And with such a pedigree, he has everything going for him to become a top sire. Midas Touch, $10,000 doing a full stands of nurses at Warhorse Place. Your inspection's invited. Just give Jerry Assinger a call, 859-509-0053, or Dana Assinger. 859-509-3157. And here's the website. It's warhorseplace.com. All righty. Warren, you were talking to Warren Lister here, and he was working for your dad, Bud Lister, back in the 60s and 70s, I guess.
That's true. 60s. It goes way back.
Yeah, that's not far back. What are you talking about?
Well, if I have time, I'll tell you a little story where I got chewed out pretty good.
Well, go ahead.
Prom night, I had never driven gone to the breeding shed with my father or somebody else hauling a mare plenty of times. My junior prom, I came strolling in about 5:30, and we had a mare on to Best Turn the next morning.
Cleveland. K-Met.
So my father woke me up at 6:30 and said, "Hey, you just go get in the van there at Hidaway and take that mare of Psychedelic Dream." I'll never forget the mare's name. It's going to Best Turn. So I said, "Well, you know, Dad, I just got in." He said, "I know when you got in. Head out. The van's already at the load and shoot. All you have to do is go get in that truck and take her to Calumet." So I drive the 5 or 6 miles to Hidaway, get in the van, drive it to Calumet. And I'll never forget it. Melvin Cinnamon came out and said, "Son, did you forget something?"
"Oh, no."
I said, "No, sir. You know, we didn't have paperwork in those days." He goes, and he laughed. He says, "What have you been doing? Because I'm sure I look a little rough." And I said, "Well, last night was prom night." And he said, and he laughed. He goes, "You go head back to Paris and get that mare, bring her back up here, and we'll get her bred." He said, "You look clean cut." He goes, "You know, if you lose your job, you come see me this summer when you get out of school." He said, "Because that guy back at Hidaway is really mad." And I didn't have the guts to tell him who that guy was at that time. So, and I was about 45 before I told that story.
Is that right?
But I always appreciated Mel Cinnamon after that.
Well, yeah, Melvin was first class, wasn't he?
So,
I'd forgotten Best Turney, great big horse. Wasn't
he was a big horse, big course horse, but what a wonderful.
Pretty good kind of a
stud.
He was a turn two, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when we took that mare to him, you know, he was young and didn't stand for a lot, maybe 3,500, but then he came with RMMs and some others that, you know, that changed.
I guess that was the best thing you sired was RMMs.
I would think. You know, she was something else. John Beach trained her.
Yeah. She ended up in Bourbon County, you know. That lady down there that...
I saw that.
Yeah,
and
I went to see him over there. I went to her place. You know, she's got a good job.
Yeah,
nice lady.
Mary ended up there.
Yeah,
it was. I don't know if it was in the Form or one of the periodicals last week or something.
Yeah,
or maybe the Blood Horse.
Who else did your dad breed to? Do you remember?
Dad, you know, he really liked, you know, the stallions that maybe weren't so commercial but had good numbers of winners. And so he, you know, he liked R. Michael and
me too.
And some of those stallions.
I used to breed R. Michael.
Yeah.
And stood over to Henry White's.
Right. And you'd get runners by him, and he liked Nascar and a few of the others. But,
yeah.
And Pago Pago Claiborne was a favorite of his.
One of the few stakes winners I bred was Pago Pago. Philly.
And so, you know, at that time, the money was different. You could sell a year for $10,000 and be happy about it.
Oh, I know. Pago Pago was $1,000.
He was $1,000.
Our Michael, I think, was $1,500 over at Henry's. He was a Bolero.
Yep.
Good race horse.
And he bred a few of T.A. Grissom's, too. You know, so he had some stallions that were useful at that time.
Roman Line.
Right.
Out of Lure Line B by Alibi. I remember that.
So, but that's, you know, they were the.
Did he stand City Line too?
I think
he
did.
Out of the same mare.
And I can't remember. I think maybe Carter Thornton had time tests. It seemed like we went to him too.
Yeah. Time tested was a similar, I believe.
Yeah, he was. I believe. But those pedigrees are long gone.
Had the Doge over there.
Yep.
And, you're talking about the. Our Michael was blind.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And he ended up in California, and they had to ship him out there, and him blind. I've often wondered, you know, how in the world they did that, you know. I guess, you know, of course the horse, you know.
Maybe they kept an attendant with him.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. That would be tough for a blind horse to do.
I know.
When you ship him, it's...
Yeah.
Not always the best. You know, they don't all appreciate that.
But I had Jackie, what was the name of that good filly we had by our Michael? Big chestnut filly out of Duck Out the Door by Carry Back we had that we sold to Bob Murray. Remember Bob Murray used to own the American Inn?
I do, yeah.
No, she was by Hard Work. That's a name. You probably just read the Hard Work, too.
We did. The Dixiana. Yes, sir.
So he was by Golden Ruler.
And again, there were $1,000 or $1,500, whatever. You know, he might have gotten to be more than that later, but that was kind of horse of mine.
I bred a couple of nice horses by him, too. I had a horse that ran second in the Widener back when that was a good race.
That used to be a real important race.
The Pago Pago that I bred was a nice filly. I sold to Alan Jerkins. And probably the best thing I ever did for the filly because, I might have broke her maiden to River Downs or something. He took her up east and won the Politely Stakes with her.
You know, that's funny how that can go. I mean, you know, we've all sold horses we wish we'd been able to keep.
But, we always had... Warren, you know, always had to sell the ones that could run. You know,
me too. So.
That's what a poor man does, you know. That's the only way we could make it, as a matter of fact.
I'm still getting the Dickens. I had a filly named In Lingerie a few years ago that broke her maiden.
Oh, nice filly.
My son trained her. And when she broke her maiden, I had a contract in 48 hours, and my wife still hasn't forgiven me.
Is that right?
Well, it was her son that was trained, and so, you know, I sold him out.
Well,
the bad thing is that if that happens, that'll happen again, the sold out business,
You have to. Yeah, exactly. So. Bumped into you, was it last year over at Spendthrift Farm? You were looking at some of their studs, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And, you know, they've done their stallions and. I've done absolutely well with Intermission.
Boy, they really support them.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they get a chance over there.
They do. And they've been innovative about how they sell their seasons.
Right. But, you know, you got to get the mares to them, and that's what...
I think that's worked for them.
Yeah, so, you know, they're willing to bite the bullet over there to get mares to them, you know.
Right.
You got to have the numbers and more. If you don't, you're dead.
That was very innovative. You know, it's foreign to... Most people's minds, you get your money first before I get mine. That doesn't happen often, and that's what they were sort of basically doing.
Yeah. Back when I was breeding, you had to come up with the money as soon as that bull got here.
Right.
Yeah.
There wasn't any refunds.
Oh, no, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, you're breeding for the market and everything down there now, aren't you?
Mostly. I keep a horse in training with my son. He's at in Hot Springs this winter.
Oh, okay.
And we like to race. I mean, we all do. So, you know, I keep one with him, and but the rest of them are for sale, and the one with him's for sale too. So.
Yes, well, absolutely, always. He's got a public stable.
He does. Yeah. He does. He has some horses for the Gunthers, and now and then a horse for Colts Neck Stable. I've been employed by Colts Neck Stable, Richard Santulli, for 30 some years. And
board horses for him?
Board horses, and look at his horses monthly. Do a report on all his young horses on the other. He has horses on 10 farms.
Is that right?
So I get to visit those every month and write him a report on his horses.
Yeah.
He doesn't get here often enough.
Well, he's been very successful.
Yeah. He's you know, thank goodness for men that like being in the game like that to race.
Yeah. Does he breeds to race or?
Both. He likes the action. He likes the game selling and he loves to race.
Yeah.
Both. He likes all of it. Yeah. Well,
you sell at Keeneland mostly?
Mostly, you know, a few at Fazzik Tipton too.
Both of them.
You know, I've done, you know, we've.
You sell in the Tarleton Farms?
Yes, Tarleton Farms.
Tarleton.
Yes.
I mispronounce a lot of words.
Yeah, we sold a bunch in Keeneland, but I've sold in October at Fazzik Tipton. One in February. So we sell a few here, you know, both spots.
What you got going this year to sell?
Not too much. You know, I don't know. I'm going to sell a couple of mine, a song and a prayer colt, and maybe I've got some foals. We've been selling some of our foals.
Selling weanlings?
Yeah, I bred to the factor and a few others.
Fast horse.
He was fast horse. Mm-hmm. And I can't afford. I had bred a few to Warfront, but then I got outpriced. I mean, they were always gracious to give me seasons.
He's no pago, is he?
Right. You know, he was 10, and now that's something entirely different. You can't get a season for 150, probably.
You probably can't get to him.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And
that's been a remarkable stud.
Right. Unbelievable. He and Tappet both. You know,
yeah.
They just moved their mares way up.
Both of them outbred themselves.
They go dirt, turf, long, short. It doesn't matter. They do it all.
Yeah. You breed up much over Claiborne?
I do. I've got a flatter filly I've kept to be in training, and she's two. And,
boy, he's been a nice stud, too.
Out of a little stakes producer. He has been a wonderful stud. Did the same thing. You know, started off at low end of the totem pole on price and moved his mares up.
You know who is jumping up with some runners since he came back from Europe? Stroll.
Stroll has always been a pretty nice stallion with the numbers and the mares he got.
They dropped off. I guess the reason they sent him to Italy was that people weren't breeding to him. Right. But then he jumped up with a bunch of runners, you know, the champion filly up in Canada at Woodbine. And then last year at First Crop, since he got back at running, he has had three more that First Crop winners just win in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I know it. I have a 3-year-old filly by Stroll that is in training.
He was a flat runner.
He was, and you know they're plain wrappers, but there's nothing. They're solid.
Yeah.
And I sold a yearling by Stroll last October at Fazzik Tipton. He sold well. Yeah, I have $25,000. I mean,
$5.
But that was right. Yeah. You know. When you raise them yourself, you make a few bucks that way.
You can, yeah, exactly. How many mares you got of your own?
Well, my own, four.
Four?
Four. Uh-huh. And then I have, we only keep 8 or 9 mares total. And the remaining mares are owned by Colts Neck Stable.
Okay.
So I just work for the one guy and my wife and two sons.
Yeah, get this and
he works. That's who I work for.
Is that right? So you all do everything yourself, basically.
Huh? Right.
Well, yes. That's what Jack and I used to do, too.
We're dinosaurs. We do all of it.
Yeah.
My son and his wife and myself.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. We're the employees.
You're dinosaurs. Huh?
We're dinosaurs. We don't we do the stalls, the mowing, and all of it.
We did too, didn't we, Jackie?
Yep, I did.
We never made a lot of money, but we had fun.
And I'm not complaining. It's been a good, you know, wonderful way to make a living.
Yeah, it's great business.
It is. Yeah. We're privileged to be in it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine says that, and the more I thought about it, he was right. If you can make a living in this business, you've been very fortunate.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
Right.
What do you think about
Jackie's casinos. Asking you something now. What?
Ask that question. What do you think about casinos?
You're going to get me in trouble. I think it's a short-term fix.
I do, too.
I think with the less numbers, Johnny Jones said something to me 30 years ago that if you have a horse can run, the economy doesn't matter. If you could go back to the times of a revolutionary or times of Andrew Jackson. If you had a horse can run, somebody will pay you for them.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah.
So good product, and I think we'll be okay. So.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
I do too.
Yeah. Well, I will let you go this time.
Okay.
Warren.
Ursel, thank you very much.
Well, it's been fun talking to you, Warren. And thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And when your son comes in, bring him by sometime. I'd like to meet him.
I'll do it.
He's training. All righty. Let me catch up on my commercials here. Well, Flotilla, winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf as a 2-year-old and winner last year of the Group 1 Classic French 1000 Guineas, turned in another game performance on February 20 at Maidan to finish second in the Group 2 Balanchine Stakes. That boosted her earnings to $966,102. Flotilla was a co-champion 2-year-old filly every year in France. That same day, Eden Prairie, after posting 2 stakes wins in a row at the fairgrounds, ran a good second in the Bayou Handicap at the fairgrounds, to the older class included. Now, prior to her 2 stakes wins, she was second, just got beat a quarter length in the Grade 2 Raven Run, and she got beat a half length in the Appalachian Stakes, of course, both those races at Keeneland. She's earned nearly $250,000 now. So if you want to get into action, take a look at Mizzen Matt. He sired 5 Grade 1 winners and the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races. And that's why his yearling sold for up to $380,000 last year. And his daughter, Ms. Direction, sold for $2,700,000 as a racing and breeding prospect just last fall. Mizzen Mast stands for $20,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also of Grade 1 winner First Defense, sire of a Grade 1 winner and millionaire in his first crop. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, you can add 4 more 2013 stakes wins for runners raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Last Saturday at the fairgrounds, Grade 3 Rachel Alexander Stakes was won by Untappable, a filly bred and owned by Winchell Thoroughbreds and raised at Corinthian Farm. The Stymie Handicap at Aqueduct was won by Farhan, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm. That's 2 stakes wins back-to-back for Farhan. At Calder, Milan won the Picasloo Stakes, and Milan was raised at Watercress Farm for Fred Hertrich III and John D. Fielding. And the Turf Paradise Derby winner, Lots of Mischief, was bred and raised at Spendthrift Farm. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers. So, here are 4 more good reasons why you should call Mike Warren or David Longmire at McCauley Brothers and ask him about the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. The number is 859-873-3333. See the website at McCauleyBros.com. Go by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. And remember, at McCauley's, it's all about the horse. Well, Uncle Mo was assigned 128 pounds on the experimental free handicap, the highest impost given to a 2-year-old since 1997. He completely dominated his crop, sprinting 6 furlongs and 9-1 to win his first time out. That was at Saratoga. He won by 14 and a quarter lengths, taking the Grade 1 Champagne Stakes by nearly 5 lengths. The 1 mile won 34-2. Then winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Stakes by 4 1/4 lengths, recording the highest buyer speed rating ever for that event, 108. At 3, and despite an illness which compromised his career, he posted the fastest buyer of the year to take the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap, a brilliant 118. And he was an easy winner of the Timely Rider Stakes for earnings of over $1,606,000. Uncle Mo was a brilliant runner. Dr. Doug Byers, who treated him as a remarked to me one time, says this was a great racehorse. He really loved him. And Horseman remembered that in his first crop weaning so well last fall. He was the leading first crop sale sire when 15 sold for an average of $129,500. Now, those are weanings. Uncle Mo's by Indian Charlie, sire of the winners of 4 Eclipse Awards, and he stands for $27,500 doing a full stanza nurses. Stanza Coolmore's Ashford Stud.
Call the farm at 859-873-7088. See the website, coolmore.com.
When unlimited access to pedigree produce records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations, and why a new generation is using APR Online.
All righty. Well, I have with me Mr. Steve Moody from Bloodstock Research Information Services. He's going to give us a winner down at the fairgrounds today. I believe they got the one stake for Louisiana Breads. Isn't that right? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. So we got the Star Guitar Stakes today. And it's kind of a... I don't know, for lack of a better term, it looks kind of a walkover. I thought maybe I'd give you the, they're running on Tuesday next week because it's, you know, it's Mardi Gras. And, maybe we'll give you that one too. That's a little more bettable race.
Oh, good.
The stake today, and they're fast and yielding down there. This race on the dirt, 6-horse field and the Star Guitar. It's for 4-year-olds and up, going a mile on the 16th, and it looks awfully, awfully difficult to beat Sunbeam in here. This one's his last 5 starts has won 4 of them, and the only one he got beat ahead, so he's just only ahead away from winning 5 in a row. And he loves the fairgrounds. Has won 4 of 6 starts there. Figures to be either on the lead or he can rake just off if somebody's, you know, bound and determined to want the lead. And he just kind of looks like he's got this group over a barrel. Awfully difficult. He was 3-5 on the morning line, so awfully, you know, just really tough to bet against him. Horse with a little bit of a price, I think, has a little bit of a chance is the 4-horse Johnny Handsome. Horse with some tactical speed. I think he's going to be sort of tracking the leader and trying to make a run in the late going. I think probably he comes up a little short, maybe could finish second and get the exacta. And then the 2-horse Hud's Rebellion, another one that sort of figures to stalk, maybe save some ground on the inside and grab part of it. But awfully difficult to beat the favorite in here, Sunbeam. We'll go 5-4-2 in the Star Guitar. On Tuesday, they got the Mardi Gras Stakes. This is a 5.5 furlong turf race. Big field in here, a 14-horse field. I think it's a really good race. And I settled on the 3-horse in that race, Ursel. Good Deed. This is a Broken Vow mare that is owned by, of course, Kentucky Connections, Richard and Bertram Klein, trained by Steve Margolis. This horse has won 7 of 13 in her career and three turf races. She's got 2 wins and a second in 3 turf starts, which are her last 3. She was second in the Panzeretta back on January the 4th, and that was her first start in about 7 months, and turf came up soft that day. You know, she had things she may have needed to race. She only got beat a length and a half in there and set a very fast pace and just got a little bit tired on the first start back. I think she's going to be very tough off that tightener, and I'm going to give her the edge over the horse that beat her last time, and that's the 7 horse, Seeking Ms. Shelley. Seeking Ms. Shelley's won 4 in a row herself. She's another one. This is 8-year-old mare by Cactus Ridge, Oklahoma bred, that's won 13 of 22 in her lifetime, 5 of 11 on the turf. She's more of a stalker. She got up to win the Panzeretta. She's going to be tracking good deed, try to run by her late. I just think that with good deed getting that race under her belt after that layoff, that she's going to improve enough to be able to turn the tables, and I'm going to give her the slight edge in here. A horse on the outside, Point to the Wild, picking her for third. Another one I think is going to be run from off the pace. She's 2-for-2 on the turf at the fairgrounds. This is a Wild and Wicked mare, trained by Brad Cox and Brian Hernandez, has got the mount on her. So, 3-7-13, if the race goes on the turf, if it should come off the turf, I'm going to go with the two horse in there at the same cross for Larry Jones. And the horse just got beat in the Happy Ticket Stakes last time out, got beat in the nose. And if it does go onto the dirt, then that's who we'll take there.
All righty. All right. Well, who's going to win the game tonight?
Well, we ought to, if we can't beat South Carolina, we ought to just quit, Ursel.
You know, I think this team can beat any team in the conference, and it can be beaten by any team in the conference. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
that game the other night was tough to watch.
Yeah, that was very disappointing to have that game. Had a 5-point lead with about 3 minutes to go, and had a 4-point lead
with a minute to go.
Minute and 15 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And couldn't get it done. You know, missed, what, 6 out of their last 7 free throws, I think. And, you know, you just have to shake your head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe, I think expectation, you know, everybody thought they were going to be so great this year, and that kind of doubled the disappointment because of that. Otherwise, you know, the record didn't. Just looking at it, you know, cold figures, it's not that bad, you know. 21 wins is not in any season is not bad, you know.
So, well, it didn't used to be, but now when they're playing 31.
Well, that's,
you know,
true.
It's a little different, you know, back when they're, you know, back, I remember when I was when I was a teenager, they played 25 or 6.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and,
true,
you know,
too.
And now they're up 31, so it's,
yeah,
you know, you kind of expect them to be in the upper, you know, at least in the 25 to upper 20s by the time the season ends when you're playing that many.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that. Well, anyway, I hope I don't have to turn it off early. I turned it off for a little while last Saturday. I mean, that last game.
Well, I turned I turned the TV off and just listened to it on the radio. Thing, so
yeah,
you know, somebody told me, Ursel, I didn't realize this, that if they end up with 10 losses this year, which right now seems pretty likely, you know, if they lose to Florida next week, they lose in the SEC tournament and lose in the NCAA tournament, that would give them 10.
Yeah,
that'd be the ninth time in the last 15 years. A friend of mine gave me that stat. I didn't realize that, you know, we used to get on, we used to talk about 10 loss Tubby. Well, it's not just Tubby.
No. that's true. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Steve. It's been Steve Moody with the, pick up that, fairground sheet at, brisnet.com. That's brisnet.com. You can pick it up wherever the celebration form, I believe, and of course you can get it out of Keeneland. So thanks so much, Steve. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Ursula.
All righty. Well, February 22 in New York, $100,000 Stymie Handicap was won by Farhan, a multiple New York Stakes winner from the first crop by Jazzle. The Stymie was the first start for Farhan since he won the Lord of Night Stakes at Aqueduct on December 13th, and it boosted his earnings to right at $218,000. Bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, Farhan's trained by Kieran McLaughlin. Now, Jazzle's first crop also includes Najjar, one of the 2013 Sycamore Stakes at Keeneland, also placed in the Arlington Classic, the American St. Ledger, and the Grade 3 Louisville Handicap,
Group 1 stakes winners in South America and in Europe, and the Fleet Zizzle, second in the Grade 3 Aristides at Churchill and placed in two other stakes. Second Crop Stakes Horses by Jazzle, placed in stakes at Woodbine, Delaware, group stakes over in France. Jazzle, originally scheduled to stand in South America, stays in Kentucky for the 2014 season. He's at Shadwell Farm, stands for $4,000 live foal. But give stay manager Kent Barnes a call. They want to get mares to this horse and understand that the announcement that he was not going to be here certainly didn't help. So, but he might be able to work something out with him. The number over there is 224-4585. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Drosselmeyer won the Classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Only one other, AP Indy, has accomplished that feat. That's pretty good company. And speaking of good company, Drosselmeyer met and defeated the likes of Game On Dude, Harvard de Gras, Flat Out, Uncle Moe, Stay Thirsty, many of the best runners of his day, on his way to earning more than $3,728,000. He is the all-time leading money winner, sired by champion sire Distorted Humor, who lists among his some 122 stakes winners the winner of all three Triple Crown races. The Dam of Drosselmeyer's Golden Ballet, winner of the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks, the Grade 1 Las Virgines, and of over 732,000. It's a Grade 1 pedigree, top and bottom. Bred to over 250 mares in his first two seasons, his first crop weaning sold for $185,000, $155,000, $130,000, $100,000. Well, Drosselmeyer stands for $15,000, doing a full stands in nurses. Stands at Windstar Farm. Give him a call. You can call Darren Fox or Leanna Packard or Kyle Wilson, 859-873-1717. And see the website, windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, they are running the Top Flight Stakes today in New York. And if you don't remember Top Flight, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. She was a foal in 1929, Dark Bay, dark brown filly. She was bred by Mr. H.P. Whitney. She raced for his son, though, C.V. Whitney, because Mr. H.P. Whitney passed away before she got to the races. And Mr. H.P. Whitney, incidentally, owned this property where we are right now, at the Thoroughbred Center that was his farm.
Wasn't his chair.
Wasn't his what?
Chair.
It wasn't his chair?
This wasn't his chair, no.
Okay, well, he wouldn't want that chair anyway. I got to put a cushion in this thing, I'll tell you that. I get a little saddle sore after 2 hours of sitting here. Well, she was by D-Stomp, who really wasn't much of a stud horse. Out of a mare named Fly At It by Peter Pan. It was a pretty good pedigree, you know. She was never defeated by a member of her own sex. She was a champion 2-year-old filly of her year. She made her first start in New York at Aqueduct as a 2-year-old on the 17th of June, 1931, in a stakes race. They knew she was good, I guess, and she led all the way and won by length. It was a race called the Clover Stakes. They put her in, sent her to Chicago after that in the second race for her career in the Lassie Stakes, and she won by 5 lengths. Went back to New York to Saratoga. She won back-to-back races in New York. She won the Saratoga Special by a length and a quarter.
Beating Colts that day, she came back into spin away at Saratoga. Was an easy winner. She won by 5 lengths. Beat Dinner Time. Mary went on to be a very top-flight producer in a way. And then she moved over to Belmont Park, and she won back-to-back races there. She won the Matron Stakes, and then she won the Futurity, once again beating Colt, beating Mad Pursuit. She won the Futurity by 2.5 lengths. And in the final start of her two-year-old season, she won the Pimlico Futurity, beating Colt. Just won by a neck that day. A horse named Tickon ran second, and Burgoo King ran third. It was a top-flight racehorse, of course. Sonny Workman rode her in most of her races there. She was retired at the end of her two-year-old season. She had won more money for any two-year-old filly in history, and I think that record stood up to the mid-40s. 13, 14 years before the purses got a little bit better up in the mid-40s and something surpassed her earnings as a two-year-old. Well, she lost her first start as a three-year-old on the 30th of April at Jamaica, and it put her in the Wood Memorial, and she ran fourth to Universe Economic in Curacao. They shipped her over to Belmont Park for the Acorn Stakes, and she won by 6 lengths, then by beating a filly named Perry. Next race was also at Belmont in the Coaching Club of American Oaks, and she won by 3/4 lengths in that race. She went to Arlington Park for her next two starts, and she won the Arlington Oaks by 2 lengths, led from wire to wire. And then they ran her in the Arlington Classic. She led for half a mile and then ran fifth. Got beat 7 lengths by Gusto. Step and Fetch It Never Go 2 and 3. Back to Saratoga and for the Alabama Stakes, which she won by 4. Then they put her in the Delaware Handicap against, I know that's for Delaware's for fillies and mares now, but it's at that time. It was Colts were eligible. Flagstone won it. Sonny Workman riding her again. She won the ladies' handicap at Belmont Park, beating Perry and Risk, another mare that went on to be a great producer. And then she won the, in the last start of her career, she ran fourth against the Colts again. She got beat 2 lengths for all the money by a really nice horse called Dark Secret. Osculator, Gallant Sir, tough field. And she just got beat 2 lengths for it, but that was the last start of her career. And she, as I said, she was racing in Mr. C.V. Whitney's colors. Top Flight went to stud over for Mr. C.V. Whitney right next door to the training center here. Of course, that's Gainesway Farm now. She was a pretty good producer, not great. Her second foal was Flight Command, a colt by Peace Chance, and won the United States Hotel Stakes in Saratoga. Let's see, then she had some other winners. They bred her to first foal was a filly named Singing Top of Royal Minstrel. She didn't win, but she was a stakes producer. And then a third foal was Sky Raider by Man of War. He won 2 races as a 3-year-old, went to stud over here for Mr. Whitney, but never sired anything much. Then she said she was the dam of Bug Bug by Gallant Fox. She didn't win, but she was a pretty good producer. Her daughter, White Lady by Mahmood, of course, Mahmood stood for Mr. C.B. Whitney, too. White Lady won and was the dam of a nice filly called Snow White, who won the filly division of the National Stallion Stakes. Ran second in the Alabama and the Schuylerville, placed in some other stakes. She was also the dam of Prim Lady, who won the Miss Swanee Stakes. And then, of course, get down through there, she was ancestress of Killaqua, Zapardo's Prince, and Earl of Milldale, Gleaming Sword. Nice pedigree. So it was, she was not an every producer alike, but she was a stakes producer. We're getting back to, Top Flight's record. So that was the story of Top Flight.
All righty, let's see what we've got here going for us. Take care of my friends over at Spendthrift Farm, the first foals by Arch Temple City and War is Reward of 2-year-olds, and you're going to have an opportunity to deceive several of them at the upcoming 2-year-olds and training sales. And the first one to sell is on Monday out in California at Barrett's. And the world's already out about this colt. I mean, they think this colt is something special. He's by Arch. Got a great way of moving, beautiful way of moving. The general manager at Barrett's, Kim Lord, watched him blow away some other sales colts. Tell me that he broke off about 10 lengths behind two other colts and just ran by him with his ears pricked. And Mr. Lord described that move as one you only see from the really good ones. Now, Arch is a grade one stakes winner by Arch. And like Temple City and War's Reward, he stands at Spendthrift Farm. Now, Temple City is a graded stakes winner and a track record breaker. He's by Dinah Farmer out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon. And Malibu Moon, you should know, was the sire of Only For You, an undefeated winner of the Grade 2 Devona Dale Stakes just last Saturday at Gulfstream. Great pedigree. It's a sire pedigree. Now, War's Reward is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Medaglia Duro. His first crop yearlings averaged 5 times the stud fee in 2013. Arch stands for $10,000. Temple City for $5,000. War's Reward for $12,500. Those fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses. And all three, and this is important now, all three are eligible for Spendthrift's popular Breed Secure program. You don't profit, you don't pay. So call Ken Wilkins or Des Nemsey or Mark Toothacker, 859-294-0030. And see the website, SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty. Well, about ready to wrap it up here. Jackie, if you get your nose out of the seed catalog over there.
But I like the seed catalog.
I know. You've got, how many of those do you get in the mail now?
No, I've just got about 6 or 7 so far.
Yeah. You know, I was going to do something on Tom Fool today, but everybody knows Tom Fool. It's too late to do it now anyway, but they're running the Tom Fool handicap up in New York today, too. Of course, he was bred with one of my favorite all-time people, Mr. Duval Healy. He was a fun man to know. I never will forget the time he had a stakes winner by some obscure horse that won a stakes down at Oak Lawn Park, and I bumped into him at the Thoroughbred Club back when it was over at the old Springs Motel. Of course, it's not there anymore. Well, neither is the Springs Motel, as far as that goes.
Exactly.
out on Broadway.
The only one left.
Yeah. Anyway, and. I asked him, I says, Mr. Healy, how'd you manage to breed to that stakes horse and come up with a stakes winner, you know? I mean, that horse. This is a horse that never sired much of anything. He says, Ursel, I tell you, he says, I burned a midnight oil working out that breeding. And says, that was a nice colt, says it, you know. That turns out he'd bought the Marin foal. He was pulling my leg. He was really good at that. All right. Well, the winner's from the Thoroughbred Center, and we haven't had many opportunities to run, but they ran last night, and we had a couple of winners. Mr. Luis Jurado saddled 2 winners last night. And the first race and the 10th race. One of them was a Cozine mare, and you don't see many Cozines around anymore. He was an awfully nice stud horse. Others, since last week's show, Tim Shue saddled a winner. Of course, he works for Preston Farm, I start Preston. Tommy Short saddled a winner, and John O'Meara, who owns, of course, a farm over on Russell Cave Road, was just past, well, at John Kennedy McPeak's place there. Part of the old Stallion Station is what it is. So anyway, that's those three guys. You see, Tim Shue, Tommy Short, John O'Meara, Luis Jurado, all saddled winners since last week's show. Mountaineer opens tonight, I believe.
Isn't that, right, Susie?
Yeah
Mountaineer so. Opens tonight.
Can
so
I say something off subject?
Better hurry up real quick.
Well, I know somebody that went to a restaurant and they bought this soldier his lunch and said not to say anything about it. And when the people that bought the guy the lunch went to pay their lunch, the restaurant bought their lunch for doing some nice thing, and that was the Olive Garden. Okay. Out at Fayette Mall. I just wanted to say something about that because that's a heck of a nice thing to do out there at the Olive Garden.
Nice
commercial.
People. Nice people. All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week, and I want to thank Mary Jane down in the studio for her usual stellar job, and of course Reshi here at here in the clocker stand with us, Michael and Dr. Byers coming in,
Matt coming in helping out.
Yeah,
and
Warren Lister, of course,
that's
spending
good interview.
Some time with us. We'll talk to you next week. Oh, we're on early next week, by the way.
Yeah, whoa.
All right.
Did you get it in or?